Wow. Okay, I'm back. You know, it is really, I would say, kind of difficult to be talking about things in the world after this communion with the Lord. But we all get back to our worlds, don't we? We all have our concerns. We all seem to have I don't know, are they fears? You know, like we have these fears that they're going to get us. You know how animals sleep and then they have these kind of latent fears? Like they're going to come get us? Oh, this is my composition around a little... I took a little sample from the theme of Eli, the movie. And then I built this whole... I knew... It was a Western hybrid track. I just took a little piece of it, and then I built a whole track going east with Eastern, with Indian rhythms and drums and things, and cinematic elements. That's an Indian bell. And those are deep, serious strings. Let me get to going in here. Okay, so that's enough of that. But now I can still hear it. Yes, like being in a big building and you can hear the echo of something coming from down the hall. And then you walk down the hall and you realize it's in some auditorium and you go in there and there's something happening in there. But, you know, you're not invited and you wonder what it is. Now, let me get my friend in here. Govinda, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Zeke?
Hey, good. Let me EQ you a little bit. I have just okay. A little bit of static background noise, but that's just Skype, I guess.
Yeah, are we okay?
Yeah, we're okay. Back off the mic just slightly.
Okay.
Or turn it down a little, and then you can be right there.
Okay.
Sound check. Govinda has been the founder of FaithMix, faithmix.com. There are lots of audio sermons there, and I've heard, you know, a few of them and been blessed. And Govinda also, we have talked to him from Haiti, and he is on the island of Sri Lanka at this point. And you're kind of like a world traveler. You know, we don't know where you're going to go next. It seems exciting though, watching your progress as you go. You know, you're encountering all the time, I suppose, people that don't share the same point of view as you in terms of spiritual.
Yeah. So that's just part of the journey, and that's part of what God sends us into.
How do you, when God sends you into them, you know, into the lion's den, how do you cope? I mean, how do you keep the fear back, or, you know, are you afraid, or how does that work?
You know, I'm still trying to figure it out myself, how all of this works, because, you know, so often people ask, you know, they want to know, you know, is there some method or is there some way that this thing works? And I mean, really, it's, for me, it's always just been, you know, God says, go do this, and you just do it. And it's not, I think when you try to create methods or you try to create, you know, 12-step programs, God loves to add a 14-step or look at the whole thing and give you one step. And,
yeah.
And so it never really works the way that people want it to.
Okay, I got to ask you one more time on the mic to turn, if you can turn it, we're getting some overmodulation distortion, so if you could turn it down a little bit. And then you can then you can speak up.
Okay, I'm trying to find the settings here.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's the microphone setting is just a little hot, and so I'm adjusting it now because our listeners want to hear. Ah. That's good.
Did you get it on that side?
Oh, you got rid of the. Yeah, that's a lot better. You could probably just back off the mic a little bit. And
okay.
It's just over-modulating is the problem. It's, you know, it's like when I talk like this, you know, over-modulate. And so when it, you know, when, if I choke on the mic there, that's what happens. So anyway, we don't have to really push it here because it's all being handled by the control room. But anyway, I wonder that about you. You know, you go into Haiti, you're dealing with the UN, you're dealing with, you're not in the UN, but I mean, you're dealing with interacting with people like UN workers and, you know, people from all over the globe, and you're flying around on helicopters and airplanes and bunking down with them, and you just wonder how do you do it without, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people want to know, do you feel that you're allowed to just walk through the world, that God just makes a path for you, and if you're just being obedient, that path opens up?
You know, I think one thing is, if you stay in track, if you stay in connection with Him, if you allow Him to deal with you, there is, I mean, for me, in certain ways, it's sometimes felt like there's been, that shield, that hedge of protection, as they call it in Scripture, but it's like a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of just, that you have with you. That, I mean, sometimes something will get through that. And, you know, but even when something happens, you know, if you keep looking to God in those situations, there's always some purpose for something getting through anyways. That would be a difficulty or some kind of attack. So even in those, it's like that Acts 16 situation where, okay, it gets a little bit rough. But if you keep praising Him through that, you find that here's the purpose why He allowed that to happen as well.
Okay. So, because you're an example of someone who literally travels the globe. And so, you know, there are people out there that can barely get down the street without feeling oppressed. And you know, they need to learn the skill of how to really let go, to stop worrying, to really, you know, rely on the Lord completely. And that's what He says, put all our cares on Him. And then go where you're led. And you do this better than just about anybody I know. So that's why I'm asking.
Really?
No.
Okay.
You do. But I need you to just, if you could back off. I don't know how we're, can we lower that mic?
I'm trying to figure this out here, but while we're talking, and I'm technologically, I'm just looking for this setting here, but, so I think I bumped this the other day, because I was having some problems with somebody not being able to hear me, and now I'm trying to find out how to go back to
If you go into, there's a little icon like a speaker, and if you go in there, you'll have record settings, and then you'll be able to take the microphone and pull it down just a little bit.
Yeah. Wait a second. There we go.
In your control panel. There you go.
There we go. Okay. I'll keep working on it here.
Okay, we'll keep it. And then I understand that you're going to be going back to Haiti.
Yeah, you know, usually I kind of, when things sort of start coming up, I talk to people that I know that, you know how to pray and are not armchair people that, you know, just sort of like to watch, you know, because really, you know, when you get into some of these things, you need people that are, you know, attuned to the Spirit, that you know, are really into it with you, and God calls them into it with you. And those are the people that, you know, you need, you know, with you, because really, you know, we don't do this on our own. You know, a lot of these things we don't do them on our own at all. God calls people. I mean, time and again, you know, somebody will write me and they'll be like, you know, God woke me up in the middle of the night to pray about something. You know, we have been, you know, while I have been in the middle of a different situation. And all of that, you know, God does that with us for each other all the time. So, you know, basically when something comes up, whatever it may be, I just put it before God and I'm like, you know, Lord, this is something you want me to go into or not. And there's a lot of times, too, there's a lot of things He says, you know, don't have any part in that or don't be involved.
Okay. Govinda, one more time. We're getting all this loud noise.
Yeah.
Should I?
Wait a second.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get it so that we can.
Yeah.
I can't mix it at this point.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second.
Well, that's what. Now I can move you up.
Okay, beautiful. I finally found it.
That is beautiful. I can't believe the change.
Oh, my apologies there. All right, so we're good?
We're great now. I can hear the birds chirping. Are those birds or are those... No.
Yeah, it's evening over here, so we are... this is the Sri Lanka background of the...
The jungle.
There's all kinds of...
You have like a jungle background with the little birds chirping.
Yeah, yeah.
Caw, caw, caw. Okay. And what time is it there?
It is 9:41 p.m. So we're about a half hour, well, actually 11 and a half hours ahead of mountain.
Well, again, I have to go on this theme because, and the reason I do is really... well, because, you know, it's been a theme. How now do we live?
Yeah.
Once
absolutely.
We have Christ, how are we going to make it through this thing? When, I mean, like, for example, in my case, recently I had tire sabotage from a car dealer where they sliced the tires so that they would give out, and they're brand new tires. Both had the same identical slice in them in the middle of the tire where you couldn't see it. Both could not be saved by a tire people to patch them. You know, it was like an X-Acto blade going in in a straight line and then just deep enough so that it was still intact there, but at some point it would give way, like a dirt road. And it did when I had guests in the car. I had a brother and his wife in the car, and we almost flew off the... it almost killed all three of us. I suppose this arrogant little putz mechanic thought he was doing his side a favor, and maybe he could clip three of us at once, and boy, that would be good for them. So he's a murderer. I know who did it. Do I take my truck back in there?
No.
Or do I move on to some other place? I'm going to get practical with you, Govinda.
Yeah.
What do I do now? I know you're laughing because it sounds like you're laughing from familiarity here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's amazing to me how, you know, these things come. And the thing is, too, is there we learn, you know, as we go on. You know, this is sometimes they think that we don't know or we don't understand. No, we know. You know, we understand. And in fact, God puts us in those situations a lot of times because there's something else that he's doing in that process as well. I think you mentioned it on a recent audio, Zeph, where you talked about, you know, they think they're trying to handle you, but really, in fact, God is using us in those situations to flip it on them.
Yes, that's, I'm glad you have that. You see that everything he does, he's using us like we get thrown into a situation where there are wolves in sheep's clothing wanting to, quote, handle us, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
And what that means is, let's explain to the audience what does it mean to handle someone? What are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for in that child of God, they're looking for a hook. See, if there's something in you that where you haven't given that over to the Father, so basically there's some place in you, some secret spot, some special room in your heart that, you know, you keep God out of. And that's something that you hold on to and you hold dear to yourself. Well, they're looking for that spot. And if they can find that spot in you, whatever it may be, they then grab hold of that and hook into that. And from that spot, and also from, you know, being able to access to and through your mind, they now then start siphoning off the life and the power of God that's in you because they lack that because they're cut off from him. So they have to live off of the power of God that's in somebody else. Now, see, when they attempt this game, a lot of people, and the scriptures talk about it too, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know and understand that this sort of thing is going on. The traditional church, which is, you know, in theory, what people should be getting educated in, but they don't tell anybody part of this because by and large, the vast majority of them are part of it themselves, which is an incredible demonic, satanic setup. But
you know, with this whole process, they're looking for a hook in the heart and the mind of the follower of Christ, some place that that person has not turned their life over to God. And basically from that point, it's then to use that access point to bridge into that person's life. And it's a mixture of either, you know, using them like a battery or just killing them off.
Slow death. Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that in some of them, when you talk to them, say on the telephone, and you tell them about a trauma that you've had, a recent trauma, you know, they sit listening almost like enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want to hear your problems, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do. You know, in fact, and this is something, too. It's you know, something, a way that they work, too, and this is maybe a, like, they will do this self-disclosure on their side where they'll tell you something traumatic from their own lives, and then they want you to reciprocate.
Yeah.
So
yes.
They will say, you know, oh, back when I was 5 or 10, this is what happened to me. And the reason they do that is it's a game. Part of it is so that you will now say, search your own mind and say, oh, well, when I was 8, this is what happened to me. You know, and so, you know, in trying to build, you know, and this is again, too, where, like, for me, when I listen or people want to come up to me and talk to me about different things, I really, you know, you've got to be, allow the Spirit of God to quicken you when you're talking to somebody, because a lot of times what they're trying to do is more or less build a dossier on you or build a, you know, get something on you that then they can turn around and use that as another access point to you. So it's not because they want to find common ground or anything like that. It's because they're just basically digging.
What is,
they're trying to find some kind of dirt.
Okay, so they want dirt so that they can then... Okay,
Go ahead.
They're assigned that when they want to handle you, because I mean, I so many people, Christians, have this problem, so they want to handle you, and so they get assigned or whatever. They want to build a dossier, so in a sense, they're kind of like an intelligence agent.
Uh-huh.
And then okay.
Well, and they work in consort, too, with demonic spirits as well. Because, see, the demons already have, you know, certain understanding about you. But, see, the thing is all of their understanding is limited. Because, ultimately, you know, even the demonic, even Satan, with all of the resources that they have in that satanic kingdom, it's still limited what they know. They do not understand the mind of God. Mm-hmm. They do not understand what God is doing in all of these things. So, basically, what they're trying to do is increase their odds, increase their percentages and their chances by, you know, building up as much as they can on anybody and everybody that they know is still a threat to their system. So it's, you know, it's for them, you know, they're operating in limitation, but they're doing the best they can with what they have. So it's, you know, when for me, what happens is if now I have no problem talking about anything, you know, that's happened in and through the course of my life, but I wait until the Spirit of God quickens me, and usually that's because it's with somebody specific that I know and I understand that this is somebody that God is bringing out or bringing through something. And that's a real heart and a true person that really is somebody that God is drawing unto himself. You know, that maybe is a case in point. But otherwise, it's like, you know, I understand by and large where most of these guys are coming from. But you know too, Seth, I see right now as well with the people of God that we're getting, it's getting much more clear where people's motives and intentions are these days than ever before. I mean, the ability to read somebody now is much sharper for me than I think even, you know, a couple of years ago.
Well, it's gotten much sharper for me like the last few months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than it was, I mean, dramatically so. And if I look back at I have a string of audios, folks, for you short waves. I had No Religionistas. Before that, I had the Zeph Report, then, which was a live show. Then before that, we had the Zeph Report, which was a online prophetic kind of blog. And then there were audios just coming out in real media files back then. And then that sort of morphed into... Frankie and his building a whole network. And so then we were on live satellite, and then and on the internet, and then that kind of went into the rise of, you know, like the Podomatic type blogs. So we were there at the first year of Podomatic doing that, and then that's blossomed into three channels with about, I don't know, 200, 250 in shows in each one. And it's been a progression since 2002. And what I've seen is I've seen my coming through one deception after another, making one mistake after another. And I, folks, I leave it all online. Every mistake I make, you have access to it. It's okay. I've got nothing, you know, there's nothing so precious that I need to be like a big time minister or anything. I don't consider myself that. So, you know, what my audios have been and what this is just a reflection of our journey, where we've all come from and where we're going, learning little by little. And this handling thing, controllers, looking back, Govinda, I can't believe that how satanic some of these are and how Jesus wrapping themselves in the Jesus thing, they do it so well.
But Zeph, it was necessary for you in part because of also the platform that God has given you for you to go through those in plain view. Because see, one thing that Satan didn't understand, and now, you know, we can pull this card and show them, is that every time that they were doing that with you, it was a global education for so many of the lambs of God that are out there, that are listening, that are tuning in, that are... So every time that one of these things would come and manifest in a different way, it was a teaching tool for a ton of people.
And then they teach me. They call me and they remind me. They go, well, Zeph, remember, you went through this already, and supposedly you learned your lesson. Okay. But anyway, yeah. So we learn our lessons about... We get street smarts in the spiritual...
Yes.
In like spiritual terms about the enemy. But then, you know, it just seems today on an audio, I was recounting, I can't put this audio up. Folks, for 3 days, there's been audios. I know Govinda knows how this is. You know, when you have an audio, you just can't put up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
With me, it's happened now 3 days in a row. I've done audios for anywhere from 1 to 2 hours and none of them can be put up. And I don't know why, because there's nothing really in them that I can see, you know, I mean, yeah, there's some stuff probably, but it's the Lord just is holding me back. And I think it's because he's doing a work, and I would just foul it up if I put that audio up. Mm-hmm. That it was something like that. So we're in cahoots with the Lord. You know, I mean, he's got a plan going and we're just parts of it. And,
yeah.
You know, when that part becomes too big, you know, like when I step into a part that's not mine to step into, he says, get back off, buddy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your part over here. This is Govinda's over here. You stay over there. If you each do, you know, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and that's also something too for each of us, is that because we are the body of Christ, and in the body, all of us have specific areas that God assigns us to, and sometimes it may be for a season, sometimes it's something specific, whatever it may be. And we have responsibilities in that. And if you are in step with God, if you are in line with what he's saying by his spirit, then you're also in a place where that power can flow, where that protection is online, all of those things that are necessary that, you know, that people look for. That's a positional thing. Mm-hmm. See, when people get outside of that, that assignment that God is giving them, that's when I see so many people doing a lot of damage to themselves. I mean, that's why it's so great that we have the Word, in part because the Word gives us God's parameters, you know, for our lives. And when we live our life by the Word of God, you stay inside that zone that God is calling us to. And when people say, you know, they choose of their own free will to go another way and hope that God will bless it, now they're hoping that, you know, that he's going to blink.
Well, yeah, it seems that we get used as kind of naive idiots at times. I mean, I'll just speak for myself because you don't seem like a naive or idiotic, but at times I look like that to myself. Being dropped into a situation, I have no business being there. I mean, technically, I'm outgunned totally. And,
yeah.
And then I see... And I get away somehow, you know. I mean, I'm thinking of times where my life was actually in danger, where if I lost my life, it would have been almost like, you know, one of those Darwin moments He just sort of like, you know, evolve, dummy. You know, why do you walk in there if you don't have the unction of God and it's none of your business? Why do you meddle in? Why do you, what, stay out of there, as you were saying. God does a work.
I think of how many situations that God's put me into where, you know, I'm like, all right, what in the world am I doing in this? Because these are not situations that I would put myself into. But I know that he's there. And that's always been the thing that I look for, is that, Lord, I don't care where it is that you would send me. I don't care what it is that you have for me to do. The one thing that I want to know is that you're in this, that where I am, what I'm doing, what I'm about right now at this moment, that this is where you are. And mm-hmm. if I have that assurance from him, that's it. That's all I need. It can be Antarctica. It can be somewhere on the equator. It can be anywhere in between. I don't care. What I do care about is that he's there and that he's in that. Because if he's in that and if I know I'm walking in step with him, that's enough. Because that's the place where his power flows. That's the place where his peace is for his people. That peace that passes all understanding that people look for in this world. It comes when you walk in step with the Prince of Peace. It doesn't come by people trying to figure out how to make things work their own way. It doesn't happen that way. You know, the world keeps talking about peace, but they don't turn to the Prince of Peace. They refuse to walk with him.
Okay. How do you walk with the Prince of Peace then?
Well, it starts by bowing your knee before him, by turning your heart and your life over to him and realizing that you cannot do it separate apart from him, that there is no other way. There is no other way, period, besides mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person comes to the realization that there is no peace outside of him, that there is no way, no hope outside of him, that you need salvation, because he saves you from yourself, he saves you from this world system, he saves you from the whole thing. It begins by bowing your knee before the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and receiving that gift that he gives you, which is salvation, which is his peace. And then when you come up off your knee and you've given your allegiance to the King of Kings, then when he says, okay, now come and follow me, you follow him. And you do that every day of your life. You do that every moment of your life, where every step that you take is a step that's led by him. And if you ever are confused or you ever wonder, you just go back to that place and you say, Lord, okay, here I am. You know, I just want to make sure that I'm walking with you. It's not this whole thing. I think because so many of us got churchified and we got hurt and we got damaged. Oh, because of all of that thing that happened, you know, they made it so confusing and so, which is why we need the mind of Christ, which is why all of that's got to be detoxed out of our system so that, you know, we can come back to the simplicity of the gospel, which is he leads and we follow.
I would call it churchified. Riffing off your riff, I think that was a good one, but then I just thought, wow, you know, there's a lot of people coming out there like, you know, with their hair frizzed out. And kind of their eyes bugged out.
Zeph, when you see them and they've been in there for like 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And they're in the same place and they're dead and they're old. And it's just like, what happened to you? You know, I mean, like I am amazed. And sometimes too, the thing is they watch you, they watch me, and they're waiting for something tragic or traumatic to happen. And we're living the life that God has called us to.
Yeah, that's another thing. Okay, waiting for you to have a big tragedy, and every day they pray that you're going to have a big tragedy. That's what when I hear people say, "Well, I'm praying for you every day, Zeph." I'm like, and let's say they're not really, you know, a friend, and I'm like, you know, I pray, Lord, could we please just put those prayers on hold? Because it seems like they just pray for your demise. And like you say, they watch. They even have people watching you. They have other people. They have a whole realm of darkness where they can see in the darkness and we can't. They can see in the dark because when you're in the dark for a long time, what happens is you develop eyes to see in the darkest places. Your eyes get more attuned, and pretty soon you can start seeing things in the dark. If you never come into the light, your eyes will adapt, so you can see in the darkness. And if you live in the light, you don't have no ability. You're blind in that darkness. It's dark. But to them, it's not dark. They can see their way around. And they live in there. And they can, from there, they have other sets of eyes that watch you. I know with me, they followed me around, you know, since I was a kid, really, since I was like, I became aware of them when I was, say, a little older than a toddler, let's say, just kind of preteen. I became kind of aware that I was being followed. I was being, you know, that it was abnormal. It was weird. It was abnormal. And, you know, I've talked to other people, even recently, even a couple of days ago, who had the same thing, that from children, they were, you know, shunned from people's houses, you know, from other kids, and kind of, but at the same time, they were followed. And I remember in one incident where this kid, we all were members of this camp club thing where there was a swimming pool. I remember this one kid tried to drown me, and I almost drowned. And I knew, and I always remembered that. It was something I could have forgotten, you know, but I remembered it, that it was a plot of some kind, you know. But it wasn't a plot like people getting together in a room and saying, okay, you're going to do this. I mean, I know that happens too. But it was more like a demonic plot. And I felt that back then. And it was part of that same persecution that I was getting at, you know, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. And I guess because, you know, the devil persecutes you to the extent that you're going to do something in the future. If you're going to end up doing like these broadcasts that you do and I do and other people do, it's breaking the mind control, a lot of it. And yeah. So that's freeing people from that bondage. So the enemy's already mad at you when you're 7 years old, because he doesn't operate in time.
Yeah. And you know, because of the fact that they see in the dark, it's all the more reason that we need to listen and to hear the voice of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the more reason that we have to tune into what it is that God is saying, because he sees all. He knows all. He understands all. And the thing is, too, is there's so many components of what they're doing, all of their shenanigans, all of their planning, all of their backroom meetings. And in one word from God, you sidestep the whole thing, or they miss completely, or all of that doesn't work, or it's got nothing to latch onto if you just remain in step with him. You know, and that's where I think for us, you know, it's on one level, we need to be aware. We need to understand. We need to, you know, have wisdom in the dealings that we do in this world. But on the other side of it too, we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to be anxious about anything. And all things with prayer and supplication, we make our requests known to God, we bring it before him, and then we thank him in the situations that we're in. So, you know, I mean, Zeph, even with all that's going on right now, you know, and America's been on my heart recently, too, mm-hmm. you know, and I've been thinking about that country, I've been praying about it, you know, Barbara and I have been talking some as well. And, you know, it's just because, you know, even for me, you know, when I was born in the States, you know, and that for me is if there was a country that, you know, I would consider, you know, like, this is where, I mean, it's the States. And for me, you know, when God called me to keep going with him, and this journey has taken me, you know, away from there, I still have a heart for the place that, yeah, for that country. And so for me, you know, I to see the things that are going on and to see the works of the enemy that are being manifest there, it's, you know, it's not a, I feel,
we're under siege. We're under siege here, and it's horrifying.
But you know, in that thing too, the other part of it is that in a moment things can change, and they can change for the better as well.
What do you think? You know, that, I was just going to iterate, just get this kind of on the tape here. What do you think of America in terms of what it is? Because I see it as a land of plenty that kind of went corrupt. And is sort of reaping what it's sowing, because it was the land of plenty, you know, from to whom much is given, much is expected. And I think we all sort of fell down on that, you know, and so we're in this state of kind of judgment. But how do you see America? What does America mean, you know, to you, because you're here. You are having the perspective of someone on, you know, lives remotely, and then someone who's also are you a dual citizen of America and Sri Lanka? Okay, like you're like my daughter. She's a dual citizen of Italy and America, and the United States. So I mean, isn't it amazing how much we've had here and what's happening now?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it is an amazing country. It's amazing what it's had. But also, too, it is a nation where there was truth, you know, as part of the foundation of that country. I know people say there's all kinds of other things that were there, whatever. But there were godly people, you know, in the foundation of that nation. And I can't say that about a lot of the other countries that I've been to. You know, I can't say that about a lot of the other places that I've been. And so with that country too, and knowing that there is a heritage that's there, you know, part of my prayer for America is just that God would be merciful to that land, because, you know, and he says in his word that he'll be merciful to whom he has mercy. So as his son, you know, as one of his children, I ask him for that. You know, basically that he would minimize the consequences for the actions that the nation has taken. And ultimately, my prayer for America is for a reversal for that land, is for things to turn back, to come back to light. You know, because Zuff, even with and I know, you know, I know the things that are, I felt, you know, in my heart, a lot of the things that, you know, are to come for that country. However, you know, in the middle of that as well, too, I know, you know, in God's word, situations like Jonah, you know, where he went into a city, he went into a place, they got it, they understood. They bowed their knee before God, they repented, and God spared them. And, you know, even in a situation like America too, I know there's also a push from the demonic to try to force God's hand in their own way too, to try to make certain things happen there as well. And with all of that's happening there too, you know, God, he's not going to be pushed into anything either. You know, he has his timing, he has his way, he has his, that which will happen will take place according to what it is that he destines to happen when he chooses. And, you know, part of when certain things happen is contingent on the body of Christ and what we do with the responsibility that he's given us in the age that we live in. You know, we've been called to battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places and all the demonic hierarchy that's there. We've been called to that, you know, and I am wondering what people are doing with that call. I'm wondering what they're doing with the power that God has given them, that he's put in them. You know, I sometimes, Zeph, I don't understand, you know, why this amazing, the power of the creator of the universe lives in us, because he chooses to live in us. And he has all authority on heaven and on earth is given unto him, and he told us to go. And in that authority, we live and move and have our being. So in that place, I sometimes am like, where are you guys? Where is the children of God? Where are the people of God? Why are they not using that which God has given them? Because we are the lights that shine in this dark world. And the world knows, it can't understand what we're doing, but it knows that we're there. And, you know, one child of God that moves in the power of God, you have more authority and more power than every president of this world combined, and all of their minions and everything that they've got. When we walk in step with the Spirit of God, we have the ability to open and shut the whole thing. And throughout history, it's been that way, and it does not change. So the onslaught against the body of Christ has been to get them to off that mindset, to not understand who they are, to get them so watered down and muddled down with the affairs of this life that they forget what it is that God's given them.
That's why we have communion. I mean, communion brings us into remembrance of all the things and our relationship with Jesus. I mean, that brings us into alignment. Gosh,
absolutely.
I see how.
And you know, when we come into that alignment, okay, so right now we are in that alignment.
Yes.
Everybody got an adjustment. So now that the body of Christ is in that adjustment and we are alive, let's pray. I mean, let's use that which God has given and that which God has put inside of each and every one of us and pray for the land and the nation that God has given you. Pray for the place that He has given you responsibility and that He has given you something to do unto Him.
I just agree with you so much. I have nothing to say.
I mean, even right now, for example, very, very simple. For us as the children of God, right now where we are, if we come into, because, all right, we've already gone through communion, we're all in step with Him, we're in spirit with Him. So now, if we take that, and from that place of alignment with Him, we hear the voice that comes from the Spirit of God, that we hear the message that comes from the head, and then He says, okay, now that power and authority that I've given to you, here's what I want you to do with it. I want you now to use that. I want you to pray. And this is what I want you to do and to say in the earth and bring this forth. Because see, when God gave authority even to the very first Adam, when there was things that He spoke and He spoke them into the earth. He named the animals. He worked with that authority that God gave him. God gave man creative ability and creative power. And when we are aligned with the Spirit of God, we have the ability to create where the world and the world system, all they can do is destroy. They can't create anything. They can only destroy. But we can create and we can displace. We can push them back. We can bind them. We can throw them out. We have the ability to pull that trump card anytime and to remind them that they are but men. You know, I was reading that just even this morning in Daniel 4 of here's Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, if there was a king in the history of mankind that had the world system under his thumb, it was him.
Yeah.
There's nobody yet in this modern day that has a lock on civilization like that man did. And that man for himself had to bow his knee and give glory unto God because God reminded him that he was but a man in his own time, in his own way, in God's own power. He just said, look, I'm going to let you know who's in control. And because even the mind that they're allowed to have, that's given by God. And God gives them a moment that reminds them that they're but window dressing, that they're but props on the stage for a window of time. And see, even right now, Zeph, that is the power that we have, is in any moment in time when we walk into the situation, we're like loose cannons on the deck. And if at a moment in time we can roll one way and destroy their whole thing, and they know that, that's why they work so hard to bring anything around us, to strap anything on us, whatever it is. And see, God gives us the power with His Spirit where all of that can be ripped off. There's nothing in this world that can hold a child of God that realizes that they're free and walks in the freedom of Christ. You walk in that thing. We walk in that power every day that we live in this life and in this world. There is nothing that holds us. So even now, for example, if we pray, and the people of God that know His voice, that listen to His voice, and if they put their faith into action and they say, Lord, we come into agreement with You, and we pray, we move things. We change things. We change destinies of nations. We change what happens in these things. All of this can change in a moment, and I know that. I've seen it. You know,
well,
I've seen the
you've
hand
seen
of
it.
God.
You've seen it. I mean, if anyone's seen it on your island of Sri Lanka, you've seen it back and forth and up and down and here and there, and tsunamis and terrorists and tremendous strife. You've had to be underground. You have to keep your identity secret. All kinds of things.
And through all of that, I'm fine.
But if people really knew the whole story, they would say, "How can you?" You know, like I would say that you're the kind of go-to guy for coping. You know, because you've had it's like you're like in Beirut in 1973, you know? I mean, you've got that experience in Sri Lanka, which has been one of the hot spots in the world. If people have followed world news, then they know that. And then you've gone to Haiti, another hot spot in the world. And, Do you want to inform us what's happening in Haiti, or how do you feel about talking about it at this point?
Oh, Haiti is, it's a different kettle of fish entirely, you know, than what was going on in Sri Lanka. I mean,
your mission there, you know, what you hope to be accomplishing on this next trip.
Well, I mean, in this next trip, it's a different stage right now of what happened. The disaster and the disaster response is always a certain part, and that lasts for a certain window of time. And then, you know, now Haiti shifts into the long-term development. So with what goes on now, it's just certain things that you put in place that will bring a better tomorrow for that country. I mean, it's part of it. You know, it's always just a piece in the puzzle. But, you know, if we do our part and each one does their part, that all works together. So you plant those good seeds in the window of time that you have. But, you know, it has to do in certain ways with educational reform and then also with economic development in that country. So, you know, that's the short version because I don't want to burn too much time. We don't have a lot of time.
Okay, no, let me worry about the time. You're good. I just just want them to know, you know, Sri Lanka. Because a lot of the people here who are hearing you, they haven't heard you before. And so Govinda is from Sri Lanka. His website is faithmix.com, and you see, I could just walk away, and he can take over, and I'll come back at the end of the hour, because I'll tell you, it's just music to my ears, the things you're saying, Govinda. The Holy Spirit's on your conversation right now, and you're just going with it. And I love the way you just go with what the Lord just gives you, and you just run with it right now. You're putting your faith into action right now by telling us all, and thank God. You have a, you know, respect for, you know, the things we have stewardship over, because a lot of people seem to have this idea that they don't have to, because since America is evil, let's take America. Since America has done evil, and I was in this, you know, I've moved through this myself because I felt betrayed by America. I felt hurt by America. I didn't like all the satanic symbols in Washington, D.C., which I kind of made a joke out of over the years. But, I mean, I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact there's a satanic thing going on where people who are in the club get all the good jobs, and the politicians and the rock stars, and all that came from America. And then Manifest Destiny was really a policy of Satanism that was wanting to be exported to the world so everyone would wear a coat and tie, you know, just to put it into a comedic kind of thing. See, what happened to me is I sort of worked through that, and then Lord was telling me, John 17, be in it, not of it. In other words, you know, you are here to do good. You're not here to sit there and complain and do nothing. And I started waking up, like the Lord was saying, you're sounding like a grumbler and a complainer, Z. I mean, what gives? You're not out there doing anything. You're not talking about, you're talking about America's awful, it sucks, so I'm going to sit here and do nothing. Even though I've been blessed, but I'm going to do nothing.
It is an amazing nation. America is an amazing land. And you know, the thing is, if people want to start talking about countries that have done wrong and done evil and that deserve the judgment of God, do you want to start that list? I mean,
China. Russia.
When people start going on that line, I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, there's a few other. If we're starting to do a ranking here,
this. Look, you know, the conspiracy theorists make it that all countries are fake, all wars are fake, all anything is fake, everything is fake, i.e. do nothing. See, it's a satanic plot, conspiracy theory. But that's what takes the wind out of the sails of doing anything, because if you do anything, the mind control is, oh, you're just a dupe for the New World Order anyway. See what I mean? And you have to fight against that.
I got you. And you know, the thing that I say to people is really, in the end, there's only two kingdoms going on here. I mean, ultimately, it all belongs to the Lord, because the Psalm says that, you know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So this whole thing belongs to him. But in operation, we see God's kingdom, and we see the kingdom of darkness, the power of Satan, that whole thing going on as well. In that whole process, though, you've got a country like America where there's been amazing things that God has done in and through that land. And for me, you know, when I think about that nation, when I pray for that country, I pray that the power of God would visit that nation, and that in the process of all that comes now, that there would be an amazing reversal, and that God's people would rise up. God's true people, not these sellout, washed down, none of that. But the people that know his voice, that speak for him, and that would cut through. You know, because we are coming into that day and at that age where, you know, I mean, there was that encounter that Moses had with the magicians of Pharaoh. And at the start, they could do similar things. They could do similar signs. They could, but as the heat kept getting turned up, they came to a point where they couldn't match. And then later on, they were affected by all this stuff. And they were like, you know, this is the finger of God. They knew it. They understand. They recognize that this is God. And, you know, we are coming into that time and into that age where God will make it clear these are his. Amidst the great deception, amidst all of these things that go on, that God will make it clear that these are his people. These are those that hear his voice, that do what he says, that walk with him, and that there is another way.
Amen. I really, you know, I love it, especially when you're talking to people that have been, you know, on the one hand, the internet's beating them down. So with all the conspiracy theory and complaining, and really it's just grumbling and complaining in the end. And then the corruption on the other hand, the news media and all that has also made it, you know, difficult to cut through. But here's what we have in the end. We have prayer, but we have, Lord, lead me in the direction today you want me to go. And then be true to that. And he may say to you, start cleaning up your environment. You know?
Absolutely.
And be out there among, don't hide, but be out there amongst them. So you have someone of the light, and then if you have 10 people of the darkness and one person of the light, guess what's going to happen? The light wins.
Absolutely. Always wins.
Always wins. So that, wow, this is a great, post-communion pep talk that's going on. But so people of America, you know, what are we going to do? I believe that the call right now is to do something as stewards of the world, and this is what we've been assigned to. You know, you were born here like I was born here, so this is our assignment. So we're going to have to clean it up. And that doesn't mean getting involved with the cool conspiracy theorists and just saying the New World Order is coming to get you, stand down, look out, you know, whatever. Buy my videos, you know, and then sit there and complain some more.
You know, Zeph, it's amazing what happens in prayer. And this is something, and I'm not talking about this thing where this, okay, Lord, please help people now, and thank you very much, amen. No, I when people bow their knee before him, stop, quiet themselves. And I think that's one place where people have gotten so busy and they've allowed their lives to get so cluttered that they've made it difficult on themselves. Mm-hmm. But really, when you come before the Lord and you put this before him and you bring it before him, you have the ability. Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed.
Yay! I put that in for emphasis.
Yeah. He prayed. And when he prayed, things changed. And yes, he went through the same gambit of emotions that so many of us have consistently. The whole, you know, am I the only one left? And all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, one tremendous experience, and the next day he's running for his life. And all of that was there. But he walked in the power of God, and he changed the nation. And God, just one man. Now,
poor, you know, Jezebel.
Yeah, no, and
she lost.
And even when he was checking out, I mean, he didn't leave. He passed that mantle on, and that work continued on.
And Elisha, so God, Elisha, very Christ-like, you know, was raising the dead.
Amen.
So we've seen. Here's the thing I'm getting right now, that we not only have this power, but the power comes also in the form of, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing in the future, because we're walking more and more cognizant of the spirit, less and less of the world. So these, what were called miracles by, say, others, will become common everyday occurrences. That's what I see.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And so these things are not going to be surprising. See, that's the thing. When people talk about miracles, they at this, up until now, it's been like this is like, oh, wow. No, it's just going to be commonplace. It's, and because for us, when you walk in faith and you walk in trust and you know that this is what God is going to do, when he does it, it's not a surprise because you already knew he was going to do it.
Yeah,
you're just walking this thing out. We are just the people that walk it out. We already know we're miraculous people.
That's what's happened to me.
We don't have to make a good show about it.
Time and time again, it looked like I had a provision worry, then all of a sudden it was taken care of. There was another thing of health, you know, then all of a sudden there was a respite. It's amazing how all these, I don't really feel like I need to focus on, say, sickness or provision or any of it anymore with my own power, with my own mind, with my own worried mind. I don't feel I need to do that because it gets taken care of. So I'm just kind of like, going with that, no worries, it'll be taken care of, and move on to the next thing. More and more, that's becoming my reality, where it did not used to be. It's had to be that, because things were too mind-boggling for me. I can't fit, the body is a very complex thing. I can't just go and fix my body. I don't know what to do. I don't really trust the AMA either, you know, just go and be at the mercy of, you know, some guy with a knife. I don't think that's the way to go either.
Well, the AMA is a private corporation anyways. So.
Right, no, I mean, that's taught me how to rely more. You know, the adversities that I feel like we've gone through, are just teaching aids to help us rely on God more or less on ourselves. That's why there's adversity. I mean, adversity helps us to do that. Anyway,
Absolutely.
Do we have time to
pray together before we check out?
I was going to say, would you please bring a prayer?
Amen, amen. All right. Well, and I want to ask everybody, too,
got one minute.
All right. So just to join with us. In Jesus' name, Father God, right now, we just pray, Lord. We take authority, Father, over all that's going on in and around us, Lord, in our lives, Father, in these time that we have in this world, Lord, and especially right now with what's going on in America. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Lord, we pray for a reversal in that nation. We pray, Father God, and we displace every demonic force and every plan of the devil that intends evil for that nation. We pray in Jesus' name that we would be turned around for good. Father, we pray, Lord, right now that, Lord, your power would visit that nation and you would raise up your true church, Father, to proclaim your name, to proclaim the truth, and to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Father, I pray that the fire of God would raise up strong in your people, Lord, and they would know your voice. In Jesus' name, Lord, we commit your true church, Father. May it stand strong and may it shine bright for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Govinda, it's certainly a pleasure. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Please just hold right there. We're all out of time. You heard the man. You see what's ahead of us. It's great. It's all good. Anyway, this is Zeph Daniel for Frankie, Trish, Govinda, and everybody. To everybody out there, we love you. We're praying for you. And we'll see you next time.